and we'll begin. So thank you all so much for coming. It really means a lot to me. I'm giving these series of shiurim in memory of my father, Avi Mori, Zichrono Livracha, Mordechai David Ben Chaim. And there will be brief shiurim where, I know, I lost my father really when the day we locked down for the pandemic. It was March 13th, Friday, March 13th. That was the last day of school for us. That was the Friday, that Friday night was the first time the shul shut down. So it's been quite a journey, and really started off with really not saying Kaddish. And then as things opened up, thankfully, I was able to have the benefit of saying Kaddish, but really both of those beginning experience and the continuation really sparked an interest for me to just learn more about Kaddish. And when you look at the Kaddish and you look at the translation, it's really not immediately apparent at all why it has anything to do with loss and with mourning and with memory, etc. So what I want to do in these series of shiurim is maybe explore that a little bit through some of the things that I learned. And so tonight for the first shiur is really going to be where Kaddish comes from and the different varieties of the Kaddish. So I'm going to share my screen now. And, you know, the first source is really from the Shulchan Aruch Moshe Yisraelis. And that's because if you look through the whole Talmud, you really don't see much of a mention of Kaddish at all, which is interesting. And yet by the time of Moshe Yisraelis, so by the time we're in the 1500s, he does mention it as something that's a common practice, at least in the areas that he was from in Europe, where Omrim Kaddish Yatom, where we're saying Kaddish Yatom after Aleinu at the end of davening, and he talks about whether somebody who's not a mourner is able to say it. But it's interesting, you know, the sources that he's quoting, the Maharil, others, so we're taking it back to the mid-1300s, to the mid-1400s. But this is this is in some ways the first time we're seeing clearly this seems to be the normal custom. And the question is, where does it start? Why doesn't it appear in the Gemara? At what point did it start, and where did it come from? So the first place that we do find it is in source number two here, called Masechet Sofrin. So there are Masechtot Ktanot, small Masechtot, which are basically collections of Braitot, so Talmudic era pieces that were not included in the Talmud itself. And here we do find a mention. So here it says, La'achar sheyigmor ha-chazan tefilat shel Musaf, when the chazan finishes the Musaf prayer, he goes to behind the door in some adjoining room in the shul, or with Pinat HaKnesset, or in the corner, the kol krobim, and there he finds the mourners and their relatives. And he says, bracha, and v'achakach omar kaddish. So there it does mention it. It says, then the kaddish is recited. And that's interesting. So the Masechet Sofrim is a little bit unclear as to exactly when it was compiled. Somewhere between 200 and 900 CE, and that's a large range. But somewhere there does seem to be that there was reference to the Kaddish significantly before the period we were talking before. But again, it's not all that clear. There's not a text that's mentioned per se. We find the actual text of it definitely later. And it seems that some suggest that it was in the time just after the Talmud was completed. The time of the Savorayim is the name that's used for the rabbis of that period. And that is definitely a possibility. And we do find the text itself shortly after that in the works of the Gaonim in that period. But it's interesting that it doesn't appear too much before then. So there is another Gemara, another piece of Talmud that I'd like to look at, which does give us, though, a little bit of a clue. Perhaps the predecessor of what we know now as Kaddish. So this is right at the beginning of Brachot, source number three. And Rabbi Yossi tells us the story. So Rabbi Yossi says once he was walking on the road, he went into a dilapidated building in order to daven to find a quiet place. And who appears there but Elijah the prophet, Eliyahu HaNavi. And there's an ellipse there because he learns quite a number of things from him, and they have a whole conversation. But I want to skip to the end of his story here, the underlined part in the Hebrew. And here in Eliyahu, in telling Rabbi Yossi a number of things, tells him the following. He says, "Bishah sheYisrael nechnasim lebate knasiot velebate midrasha." At the time when the Jewish people go into synagogues and they go into houses of study, "Va'onin," they say, they answer, "Yehi shmei hagadol mevorach." When the Jewish people say that and they answer that in the prayers, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu God menanei arosho," he nods his head in agreement with Omer, and he says, "Ashrei hamelech shemakalsin oto b'baitokach." So praiseworthy is the king. It's Hashem is very pleased that the Jewish people are praising him in that way, and he continues with his statement. So what I want to focus in on is that should sound a little bit familiar. Yeheishme hagadol mavorach. So that's very, very similar to the refrain, I just like Amen and Baruch Hu, that we say in the Kaddish. It's very similar. What's different about it? What's different about it is it's in Hebrew. It's not in Aramaic. If we look at the Kaddish, part of the reason that the Kaddish is relatively unfamiliar and a little bit harder to say a lot of times when people are beginning to say the Kaddish is that it's in Aramaic, which is less familiar for most people than the Hebrew. And here we have that phrase, right? Yeheishmei Rabba, but it's not Yeheishmei Rabba, it's Yeheishmei Hagadol Mevorach. So it seems to be a precursor, but it is in Hebrew. Now Tosfos picks up on this and talks about why it is that the Kaddish that we say is not in Hebrew, and rather it's in Aramaic. And so he quotes a Gemara in Sota, and that Gemara at the very end of Sota talks about two different prayers. So the Gemara says are very, very key and important prayers. So the two that it mentions, Kedusha de Sidra, which is what we know as Uval Etzion, after Ashrei, the second Ashrei in the morning, we say Uval Etzion, where we say a form of the Kedusha, Kadosh, 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 etc. And the other is Yeheishmei Rabba, the Basar Agadato, the Gemara says. The Yeheishmei Rabba that said in the Kaddish after our public Torah learning. So Tosfos says over here in source number 4, Hayiragilin lomar kaddish achar hadrasha. They would say the kaddish after the Torah was taught in publicly. Visham hayu amei aratzos, and there were people there who were not so well educated. Velo hayu mevinin kulam lashna kodesh, and at that time they didn't necessarily all know Hebrew. Right? They didn't have Jewish day schools that we're blessed with today, and the system of Jewish day schools necessarily, and so many of them were not literate. They were not able to read Hebrew at all. So lakach tiknuhu b'lashon targum. So instead, so they made the Kaddish in Aramaic. So then everybody would understand because that was the language that they spoke. So this is what's important to understand is that it was a very different situation than it is now. So now I think, Aramaic is less understood than Hebrew for us, right? So having it be in Aramaic doesn't necessarily accomplish the same goal as it was initially established for. But then it would be the equivalent of nowadays if we would say we're going to have a prayer and we're going to have it in English, at least in the United States. We're going to have a prayer and we're going to have it in English. Why? Because we really want to make sure that everyone understands what we are saying. And that's essentially what they did when they made the Kaddish in Aramaic, because that was the colloquial language. That was what the people were speaking. So it's important to understand that. And that's what Tosfos is saying. And some suggest that it seems like at one point, perhaps when they were in Israel, there was some precursor of Kaddish that we're talking about. And it was said in the Hebrew. And then perhaps when they were exiled to Babylon, sometime about the exile of Babel, at some point, and this is the reference that the Gemara in Sota is making, that it was important to have something where people were getting together and everybody would understand the prayer. And so they did the equivalent of translating it into English. And at that time it was translating it into Aramaic, which was the colloquial language. So the Kaddish that we know, and this is going to be important, we're going to discuss a little more in a minute, but one of the things that was very important to the rabbis when they were establishing the Kaddish was that it should be understood by all. That was a very important thing. The Kaddish should be something that was accessible and understood by the whole population. And they accomplished that by making the language of the Kaddish the language that everyone spoke rather than the Hebrew, which was not understood by all. So I think the first interesting thing, before we talk about some of the one particular textual variation that you find, is that the Kaddish, more than anything else, really, again, doesn't really mention mourning or loss or anything like that. The Kaddish is really about praising God's name. If you look at the English, that's quite clear. And it seems that the second important piece that the rabbi is trying to do is that it's about praising God's name in a public way, in a way that will be understood by all. Now, one of the other things that's interesting is that there are definitely different textual variations in the Kaddish. Some of them just depend on the Nusach. If you daven in a Sephardi shul or Nusach Ariya, Chabad, Minhag, so you will hear sometimes different added words. But even within the Nusach, you will also find that there are times of the year, and this was more towards the beginning of my saying Kaddish, and I noticed the changes that we make in the Kaddish during the 10 days of repentance. And one of those changes seems to be relatively, we understand the changes being made, and the other one really drew my attention. So I'm going to share a different screen for a minute and just look at the words of the Kaddish for a second. Okay, so we have the Kaddish here, and there we can focus on the Chatzi Kaddish for a minute, and we'll go through the four different types of Kaddish. But here we have the Kaddish, and we know that during the, and that's what the in green over here is the Aser Shmei Tshuva, stands for the 10 days of repentance. And the change is that we add a word. There's a disagreement about it, whether we're adding the word Le'ela or Ula'ela, but we're adding another word. But we don't just do that. We don't just add the other word. We also do something very interesting. We also change Min Kol. So instead of Le'ela Min Kol, it changes to Le'ela Ula'ela or Le'ela Mikol. We contract Min Kol and make it into one word, Mikol. So that's an interesting change, because it doesn't really seem to be a reason to make that contraction. Either you make the contraction in general or don't make the contraction in general. But what does that have to do with anything? I understand we're adding a word, and we're not going to get into the reasons for adding the word, but what's going on with the contraction? And the explanation that's given, which is a fascinating explanation, is that in this part of the Kaddish, it's very important to keep the word count. And so when we add the word of Le'ela or Ula'ela, we have to keep the word count constant. So we've got to contract two other words into one word so we can keep it to 28 words in that section. So the obvious question is, why is it important to keep it as 28 words? So now we'll go back to our source sheet. We'll see a very interesting suggestion about that. So the suggestion is, this is familiar, the beginning of the third chapter of Kohelet, right? Ecclesiastes. And it's also known to some because it's a bird song, and they did not make it up. This is where they got it from. So it's every season and every time, right? This is how you will notice the words turn do not appear here, that they added. But interestingly, if you count up all the times that are enumerated here, how many are there going to be? So you don't have to do it, right? There's going to be 28. And so what I find interesting is here, that's the suggestion. The suggestion is we want to have 28 words, because 28 words is a reference to these 28 different times that are mentioned in the beginning of the third chapter here. So that's very interesting. Why would we want to do that? So I think what's going on here, interestingly, is I think that this is maybe one of the oblique references to something that's a little bit more about mourning, a little bit more about life cycles. Because there really are not, as we said, there are not places in the Kaddish where there's a very obvious reference to it. But here, this need to keep it to 28 words so that we're referencing this idea of life cycles, I think is one of the places. And my thinking is that basically we're the focus of the Kaddish is certainly on praising Hashem. It's really on praising God. We're not focusing on the person that's lost, but at the same time, we are making a reference to the person, or not necessarily to the person who's lost, but to the idea of loss, the idea of life cycles. And it very much to my mind, so I ran across the idea that we know about the Kubler-Ross four stages of mourning. And relatively recently, there was a fellow who worked with her. And then in the last number of years, he actually added a fifth stage, which is very interesting. And the fifth stage is making meaning. And he, through his own loss and his own experiences, he felt that acceptance can't be the last stage. It can't be that that's all there is. You'd accept and that's it. And he, through his research, decided that there really is a fifth stage. And he actually runs the Kubler-Ross Center for Grief and Mourning. And he's now added this fifth stage of meaning making. And it resonated with me very much. And I think that might be what this reference is talking about. But the idea is not necessarily that it doesn't make the loss easier per se or understandable, but that the idea is that the final stage is really meaning making, is taking the life of the person and who the person was and allowing that to impact our lives, those who are left behind, to allow us to impact our lives as well and making meaning in our own lives from the memory of the person who's passed on. And I think that really, to me, is very much a piece of what Kaddish is trying to do. It's not really focused on the person who's passed away, and yet it's so connected. So I think it's this idea that there is an oblique reference, but the main point of the Kaddish, what we are doing in the Kaddish, is really praising God. We're really continuing with our lives and praising God in that way and continuing and showing, you know, this is what I'm doing because of the impact of this person. It was certainly true in my case, my father, seeing his example of going to shul and leading and all the things that he did in his shul, for me to be able to go to shul and to lead davening and to be involved in the shul in that way, that's the idea of meaning making through the Kaddish. So to move on from that and just to end with a little bit of an exploration of the different types of Kaddish. So there really are essentially four types of Kaddish. There really is a fifth. I'm going to go back again and switch to the four kinds of Kaddish. Here we go. And so what you can see is basically we have four different Kaddish. The half Kaddish, which true to its name, the Chatzi Kaddish, is half of Kaddish. It's just the first half of Kaddish. And you say I color-coded it so you can really get a sense of the differences textually. The Kaddish Yatom, the mourner's Kaddish, is essentially the half Kaddish. It's the same thing, but it includes the last paragraph, Yishlam Rabba, and then Osa Shalom. And then below here, we have the two other Kaddishes, which essentially, again, everything in black, right? It's the same thing. That's the Kaddish Yatom. It's the same thing as the mourner's Kaddish. But there's the Kaddish Titkabel, or the full Kaddish, Kaddish Shalem, two different names. And there we're adding in the yellow. Just a few lines there about Hashem accepting our prayers. And then there's the Kaddish Dirabanan, which also, again, instead of adding in the yellow, here it's adding in the red, a little bit of a longer paragraph there. And those are really the four Kaddish. And there really is a fifth one that we're not going to talk about today, which is only said twice. It's said at the actual grave site when their burial takes place. And it's also said at a siyum, which seem to be very, very different and unrelated events. So we'll not get into that interesting paradox. That'll be for another time. But we have these four Kaddishim, and I think in some ways it really bolsters the point a little bit. So if we look, and I go back to our handout. So if we look here, the Prima Gun does a very nice job, and I didn't translate it word for word here, but basically talks about the noticing where these different Kaddishim are in davening and what they really do. And the Chatzi Kaddish, the half Kaddish, is essentially an intro slash outro for davening. It really just differentiates between different parts of the davening. So you'll notice it's after Yishtabach, which is saying, okay, the Psuket HaZimra, that part of davening is over. Now we're moving over to the Brachot of Shema. That's a good place for a Chatzi Kaddish. It's right before Shmona Esrei, right? Mincha, Mariv. Always right before Shmon Esrei, saying, okay, we finished this part and now we're starting a new part after Torah reading, etc. The Kaddish Shalem, or the Kaddish Titkabal, is right after Shmona Esrei or Slicho, which is a different discussion. But essentially, right, that's that added added line that we saw in the yellow, that it's basically a Kaddish, but it says, you know, we're asking God for our prayers to be accepted, and particularly after Shmona Esrei. So it really is pretty much married to being right after Shmona Esrei. And then the Kaddish Dirabanan that has that longer paragraph of Yisrael or Rabbanan. So that longer paragraph is after verses of Torah study. So for example, after we do Bameh Madlikin, the Perek of Mishnayot on Friday night, or every morning after the Karbanot are done. So there's been some different verses or different Mishnayot, different piece of Gemara, things like that. Anytime that's happening, that's when there's going to be the Kaddish Dirabanan. So we're just going to look at a few statements of the Mishnah Berurah on this. I think also we'll gain a little bit of insight, and with this we'll close, a little bit of insight also get into the point of Kaddish and the idea here. So the Mishnah Berurah here says, in source number two over here, is he says, similarly, after we're learning something in the oral law, we all say Kaddish Dirabanan, right? After we're learning something, again, that's the Kaddish Dirabanan. And he quotes the Magen Avraham that says that it's particularly important for it to be some kind of agadic teaching, and rather than just anything kind of in the Torah or in the Mishnayos. And so that's why, and you'll notice this, that's why the custom is to say either the Mishnah of Rabbi Hanani ben Akasha Omer, that's like the one Mishnah one knows by heart, right? That Mishnah, like right after, it always seems so strange, right after the rabbi has just done some learning and he's just done a Mishnah, why is there a need to say Rabbi Hanani ben Akasha Omer? So this is the reason why, is because that some understand that it's particularly this idea of the agadata, this idea of some kind of not necessarily halachic, not necessarily Jewish law, but more of a Jewish thought. And that's important to say before this Kaddish could be said. The other one that Mishnah Berurah mentions, which you also find, is Amar Rabbi Elazar, right? Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. And that's what you'll find, you know, Friday night. So that's why that's said. We just said a whole Bameh Madlikin, we said a whole parak, a whole chapter of Mishnah from Shabbos. And yet after, at the end, you have to say Amar Rabbi Elazar Chamar, because there has to be this sense of and I got it, though. There has to be some sense of not just a halachic, but also a more of a philosophical piece. But it's very interesting. And again, I think that gets to the idea that we're really trying to praise God's name. And it's something that's supposed to be accessible to everybody, which is why it's in Aramaic. So here also this idea that before that Kaddish, before we're doing that, there should be this sense of public Torah learning, and it should be public Torah learning that in some way is accessible to all. And it shouldn't be maybe intricacies and minutiae of the law, which maybe is not as accessible to everybody, but it really should be this sense of it being accessible to all. And the Mishnah Berurah says something very interesting, which number three, which is also important. So the Mishnah Berurah says that really the ideal here, he says, is really serving as a shliach tzibur. And I think this is important in terms of understanding what we're trying to accomplish over here. It says really what the mourner is supposed to be trying to do is really serving a shliach tzibur. He's supposed to serve as the person who's being that example and leading the congregation in prayer. But what he says is it has to be after Aleinu. It has psukim in Aleinu. And so the custom is to leave that last Kaddish, which is what we do, right? The Kaddish Yapeum after Aleinu. And he says something so interesting. He says, because some people are not able to serve as Shliach Tzibur, but if they're able to actually be the Shliach Tzibur and lead them, that's actually ideal. So again, it goes back to this idea that the Kaddish was created to be very much accessible to all. That there should be some kind of role and some kind of ability for the person to be able to manifest and show, you know, I'm here and I am taking the memory of the lost loved one, and I'm pushing that forward and into my own life in a way where I'm really leading the congregation. And if the person is not able to do that, and again, it goes back to that same idea that not everybody is able to do that. Not everybody has that education. Not everybody feels comfortable being able to do that. And so that's where the Kaddish comes in, where at least they can say the Kaddish, at least there's this prayer, which again, in its crafting, is crafted in a language and in such a way that at least that they're able to do. But it's I think an important idea to understand that if the ideal is to lead the congregation in prayer, so then the Kaddish really is supposed to be doing the same thing. So it's something that's in Aramaic, it's in the language that they spoke, and it's something where a person is coming in and they're trying to lead the congregation. And I think it really reflects back to that idea. So I think the first thing we can learn about Kaddish, and next week we'll have another shiur, we'll explore the next aspect of this. But I think what we can leave with today, just in summary, is I think there's a few things that we're really learning about Kaddish. Kaddish is current form began after the Gemara in the time of the Savarayim, it seems, when it was turned into Aramaic. But it was based really on an earlier Hebrew prayer that had roots earlier, Masechet Sofer, in the Gemara, as we saw. And its essence, we see that really what Kaddish is, because we see from the fact that it has these four different, the Chatzi Kaddish certainly, is that in its essence, Kaddish is really very much an integral part of the prayer, an integral part of Tefillah. So, and as the Mishnah Berurah was saying, really, Kaddish is almost a stand-in for the person who's not necessarily able to lead the prayers. And so Kaddish is really a way for children and others to demonstrate the impact that the departed has had upon them by leading the congregation in prayer, whether it's actually by serving as the Shliach Tzibur, as the leader, or just as saying the Kaddish, which is another smaller, shorter option. And the Kaddish Derabanan particularly might have been that opportunity when everyone was getting together and there was learning together, where that was a very appropriate opportunity for the person to do just that. And as I said before, I think it's really an idea of the fifth stage of mourning where there's meaning making. So God willing, this shir should be a evening neshama for my father. And we should all continue to both use his memory and all of our, any of us who have lost people, to use their memories as we're moving into the future, and use it to praise God and to lead the congregation, as it were, whether actually or just together as we're leading and making a difference in the world. Thank you all so much.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
What a beautiful share.